Nighttime on Still Waters. This is NB506812, narrowcasting into the night from somewhere on Britain's waterways.
June 30th, Friday. Endless motorways, endless traffic, red lights all the way. A frightened face and soulful eyes. I sit on the stairs out of sight, out of the way. A short drizzle of rain, the smell of hay and fields. Sitting as darkness falls, my arm is licked by a new friend. Twilight is deepening. The moon hangs low in the south, hugging Scorpius on the silver horizon. It's nearly full, the buck moon. And this is the Narrowboat Erica, narrowcasting into the dark, to you, wherever you are. I'm really pleased that you could make it tonight. There's someone here I want you to meet. So come in, out of the night chill, make yourself comfortable, and welcome aboard. Well, it's all been very strange and unexpected week, and we're still really in the middle of processing it all. And that's probably going to be reflected in this episode. So that's going to be, might be a little bit strange and fragmented, as the usual prep times have been spent doing other things. So yesterday, quite out of the blue, we welcomed aboard a new crewmate, Maggie. She's a rather timid and fearful 2-year-old smooth-coated collie that's crossed with a Jack Russell. So if you can imagine a border collie with 4 stumpy little legs, that's pretty well you've got Maggie. She's sensitive and gentle and impish, all in equal measures. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you may know that when we moved aboard the Erica, we had Penny, funnily enough, another collie cross, although we're not sure what she was crossed with us. And she had for a long time been an inseparable part of our lives, and she had brought so much richness to us. And she also taught me so much and was an intrinsic part of the journey that we were both taking, part companion, part guide. And when we lost her in the April before last, she left a huge hole in both of our lives, and we missed her greatly. We'd always said that one day we would look for a new dog to accompany us, but we needed time to work through the grief and the loss. It can be emotionally difficult having a new dog. It can feel a bit like a betrayal of love, a replacement that somehow seems to or feels like it could cheapen the older bond that we had. However, as the politician Roy Hattersley once wisely said, it's actually the greatest compliment and tribute that you can give to a companion dog that you have lost to find a new one. We also recognise that Penny was that special dog who we knew could never be replaced. And we were worried that the high bar Penny had set would mean that our expectations would place unfair and impossible demands on the new dog by forever comparing it to her. Therefore, we decided to wait at least a year to work Penny through our system, and then to reconsider how we felt about a new companion here on the Erica. Well, the year rolled by, and we both still felt that we would like to bring a dog into our lives. And so in a very informal and casual way, we began to put out feelers. But we knew from talking with other boaters that one problem often faced by people not living in conventional houses is that quite often dog rescue centres can be very cautious about letting you adopt from them. And what we had not counted on, however, was that the whole process and way of adopting rescue dogs has changed since the pandemic and since we got Penny. The main centres insist that the early stages are all done online. We actually even went to a couple of local ones, and they were incredibly friendly and even very accommodating when we told them that we lived on a boat. But we kept on being informed that although we might be able to look at a few dogs, we would not be able to meet any in person, and any expression of interest must be done through the internet. And I have to say that I completely agree that the dog's well-being should always be prioritised in these matters, and fully understand how disruptive and potentially distressing it might be for a dog placed in kennels to be made to meet complete strangers, some of whom apparently have no real intention of adopting. And again, I completely understand why this policy has been instituted, but it nevertheless placed us in the quandary. We were both convinced that one of the reasons why our relationship with Penny worked so well and our mutual bond was so strong was because Penny clicked with us, or at least with Donna. There seemed to be some immediate connection on Penny's part that Donna could reciprocate. Actually, as far as I was concerned, for Penny, I was very much an acquired taste. However, I could see the click between Penny and Donna, and for me, that was enough. I can afford to play the long game in these situations. And good, strong bonds do gradually develop. However, this new process of adoption meant that there would be no opportunity for this. And we were sent digital page loads of dog pictures, each with profiles, and asked to select ones that took our fancy. And that was the exact opposite of what we were hoping for. And as Donna said, it felt much too much like choosing a handbag online. It wasn't what the dog looked like that we cared about, but who the dog was and whether they felt that they wanted to live with us. Moreover, the process meant that you initially submitted your online expression of interest and provided your details remotely, and this would then be vetted and considered alongside all the other people who had also expressed an interest in that particular dog. The most suitable candidate was then invited in to meet the dog, and the whole process could then take a more serious and formal feel. And again, I completely understand how this actually does work in the dog's interest. However, here lay the next snag. We had repeatedly been assured that living on a boat was not going to be viewed negatively or against us by the selection team. But this still didn't feel reassuring when a lot of the information boxes that we were asked to fill out simply didn't apply, or we just could not fulfill them. And again, I want to reiterate that this is not a criticism of the staff or those working in the centres, and I totally understand why they've adopted these processes and can quite believe that, for the most part, they work better than the old system. However, it becomes a problem when the process is based, initially at least, on tick boxes, and your own particular life does not conform to tick boxes. This meant that in the spring of this year, we felt that we'd rather been knocked back a bit. But word among the boaters of local independent rehoming charities gave us a glimmer of hope. However, here again, we kept coming up empty. It wasn't a problem, and confirmed the feeling we both had that the right dog and the right time would come, and that to gently just push at the doors when we came across them and just let things flow naturally. Well, the other week, completely out of the blue, Dad just dropped into the conversation. He knew that we were looking for a dog, that he'd just been watching a narrowboat vlog, The Narrowboat Pirate, in which Heidi, the pirate in question, had just adopted a little dog from a rescue charity, Dee Dee's Dog Rescue. And he gave us the details, or gave us where to look for the details. So last weekend I got in contact with them, not particularly expecting much response other than just to be put on their list. when the admin got back to me almost immediately about a dog, Maggie, who had just come in, and had I seen a picture of her. And funnily enough, I had, immediately before that, shown Donna the picture of Maggie, as she looked like a very smaller version of Penny. Well, to cut a long story short, we had an online chat where we learnt a bit more about Maggie, and she did, on paper, seem to fit with all the things that we needed, bearing in mind Topaz can be busy places filled with other dogs, etc., etc. And so, on Friday, we went up to meet Maggie. She had just been taken from her owners, who appear to actually have done everything that they could in her best interest. She certainly has not been ill-treated. But just not being able to cope with a young dog in a very young family. And it was just one of those horrible and distressing situations where people are trying to do the right things and it just doesn't work out. But it also meant that Maggie, bless her, had just found herself in a new house of a pretty much complete stranger and was then confronted by two new strangers, and she was the total centre of everyone's focus. We also then discovered that she, rather like Penny, had a great fear of men, and particularly tall men. Now, I'm not particularly tall, but my build sometimes gives that impression. When I worked with the traveller team in schools, one little pupil always used to call me Mr. Tall. Anyway, Maggie was clearly scared and quite distressed, and then absolutely terrified whenever I tried to approach her, and at one point growling and baring her teeth at me. Nevertheless, it was clear to both of us that she was actually a very sensitive and gentle dog who, once the fear was broken through, would actually make an ideal companion. We had been worried that from her photograph she looked a little too like Penny, and thus reawakening those fears of continually judging her in Penny's light rather than letting her develop in her own way, doing her own things. But actually in person, when we met her, she is very different and a complete individual in her own right. And behind that fear, we could see that there was a little soul and personality brightly burning. Things became a little easier with her when I was out of the picture. And so Donna took Maggie and Julie, the rescue centre lady, for a walk. And by this time, we were both fairly convinced that if Maggie was okay with it, we were willing to give it a go. The centre has a really great policy of instituting an initial fostering period where the potential adopter fosters the dog to see if the arrangement works for both parties. And so we decided to, yeah, let's start and try fostering her. Well, the plan for Friday was that we were to go up and initially meet her. She would then go back to her family, and then over the next couple of weeks, we would come up and collect her. She needs to be spayed sometime before August and paperwork exchanged, and over this period, we would then get to know her and bring her eventually to the Erica here. However, it was pretty clear that this was just going to prolong the distressing process for her, making it even more traumatic for Maggie. And so it was rather decided on the spur of the moment that we would take her with us there and then. At this point, Maggie was getting on with Donna much better now, and I again could play the long game. The problem was fear, and I understand fear, and what fear can do, and also how fear can be eased. And I was happy to be just a presence for the time being. But it was also rather like a rerun of our experience with Penny. We had been told then that the whole adoption process was going to take at least a month, if not two. But again, the centre that we went to were so desperate to home her quickly. Penny was finding kennel life traumatic and beginning to emotionally shut down, that we took her home within a week, Well, this was even quicker. And what's more, we had absolutely nothing set up for a dog in the boat. No food, no bowls, no leads, no anything. Fortunately, Julie could give us some equipment. And so we set off for home with a little soulful-eyed Maggie in the back. By the time we reached the boat, there was an obvious bond now between her and Donna forming. I was still very much a threat, although Maggie by now was beginning to look at me and make tentative moves towards me, although still flinching and shrinking away when I was a little bit too near her. But she quickly made herself at home on the boat, climbing onto the settee and snuggling up to Donna. And she even put up with me sharing a corner of the settee. Over the evening, she became more and more relaxed until just before we retired to bed, a little tongue began to lick my arm. And that was enough. That was all that's needed. And since then, Maggie and I have been on a lot of little walks, loads of games of catch. We bearded a swan, met lots of friendly dogs, had many, many scrumpfles, and made some friends with the other boaters here. As Julie later texted, "I think this is going to work." Yes, we do too. So welcome aboard, Maggie. I'm so glad that you're going to be part of our journey. We have so much still to learn, as you too still have. And we can't think of anyone better to be our companion in this adventure than you. If you want to see any pictures of Maggie, I've posted them on the various social media platforms. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Mastodon. And there's also going to be some photographs in the program notes for this episode on the NOSW Pod website. So if you want to see her, then please go there and have a look. And thank you to everyone who commented and sent messages to me relating to Maggie. There's going to be far too many to mention individually, but they're all very much appreciated, so thank you. However, before I go, and I do apologise that this is rather a strange episode, I do want to just give a couple of quick shout-outs. First of all, JB over on Mastodon, thank you for that book recommendation, especially because it's not one that I've come across before. And I don't know why I haven't come across it, but you're right, it's exactly up my street. So I'm going to keep an eye open for it. So thank you. And thank you also to Barry in the Fens. It's been lovely to hear from you, Barry. And thank you for that delightful trip down memory lane, reminiscing about Nash Mills and John Dickinson's. And I'm so pleased that you can remember the Traveller's Rest. You're the first person that I've met that does remember it. Everyone looks at me as if I've made the whole thing up to such an extent that I almost began to think that I had. So thank you for confirming that I am not gone completely mad. Hello also to long-time listener Miles Harvey, and thank you for your comments relating to last week's episode. And isn't it strange how you might not hear about something for years and years, and then quite out of the blue, you come across it independently, quite at random, being repeated over the next couple of days, or even the same day. I'm sure there is a name for it, but it escapes me for the moment. A quick hello to all the members of Enuma Elish. A happy convergence of fate to a mix-up on Twitter accounts put us in contact with each other. And it's great to meet up and to hear your music, guys. And I wish you all the very best for your future. And I'm going to love anything by a band who calls themselves Enuma Elish anyway. And finally, just a special thanks to our Lock Wheelers for supporting this podcast. And a big thank you and welcome to a new Lock Wheeler, Sean James Cameron. So thank you and welcome. And thank you also to Laurie and Liz, Phil Pickin, Orange Cookie, Donna Kelly, Mary Keane, Tony Rutherford, Arabella Holtzapfel, Rory with MJ and Kayla, Narrowboat Precious Jet, Linda Reynolds Birkins, Richard Noble, Carol Ferguson, Tracy Thomas, Mike and Tricia Stowe, and Madeline Smith. So thank you. So after a rather unusual podcast episode, it's time really for me to sign off for the night. Having a dog is exhausting, isn't it? So thank you for listening. And this is the Narrowboat Erica signing off for the night and wishing you a very restful and peaceful night. Good night. Temperature outside 14.1 degrees. Inside 20 degrees. Humidity 74%. Dew point 10 degrees. Wind direction west. Wind strength 10 miles per hour. Barometric pressure 1009.1 rising. Cloud cover 50%. Cloud ceiling none. Precipitation nil. Moon phase 96.5%. Waxing gibbous. Day length 16 hours 42 minutes. Sunset 21:32. Sky casting 4:50.